Please turn in your Bibles to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 23. This morning, we'll continue with our series through the book of Colossians. And today, we'll be looking at what makes Jesus Christ so different from the emptiness of all of these other false religions. And we're going to see, pay special attention to the contrast that the Apostle Paul makes in this passage. And hopefully, you'll see that Jesus Christ, everything is found in Him, everything that you need, in contrast to such emptiness of all of these other false forms of religion. And so without further ado, let us read Colossians 2, verses 6 through 23. Listen carefully to God's Word. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you who were dead in the trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities, and He put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or new moon, or Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to its regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Thus the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would make these words pierce our hearts, and that anyone listening to this sermon, that you would touch their hearts in a powerful way, so that they would see clearly their Savior, Jesus Christ, and all the riches that are found in Him, and that you would help everyone to understand the emptiness of anything that is outside of Christ, so that you might be supremely glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the passage that we're looking at today, it stands on such a rich theological foundation. You see, in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul has already explained what God is doing in the world, how He is building His church by making the gospel go forth with great power and making it bear much fruit for the glory of God. And he also took some time to explain who Jesus Christ is, and what He has accomplished to purchase our salvation at the cross. He explained to us that because of who Jesus is, fully God in human flesh, and because He went to death at the cross, paying the price for our sins. Therefore, we have this salvation, and we can be sure that our souls will be redeemed by the Lord Himself. And he explained the importance of abiding in the Christian faith and being a part of what God is doing in His church. And now that this rich theological foundation has been laid, you see, the Apostle Paul, he says to the Colossian believers, he says, therefore, because of all these things, don't even think about trying to find anything of spiritual value outside of Christ. He says, you won't find anything there. You're only going to find these things in Christ. And in fact, this passage is divided in two main sections. First, we'll see how much Paul, he just hammers that. He hammers the fact that you find everything that you need in Christ. And he just goes from so many different angles, and it's going to be crystal clear. And secondly, we'll see how empty all of these other forms of religions really are. And we're going to see that contrast. It's so sharp that there's no way you can miss it if you listen to these words. So let's begin by looking at his argument that everything that you need for your spiritual blessing, you find it in Christ. I want you to look at verses 6 and 7. Look at these verses. He says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Now, before we even move from here, I have to ask you this question. Have you even received Christ? Have you received Christ? If you haven't, then it's pointless. It's pointless to try to move forward from here. Now, just think about how preposterous it would be for me to tell you to walk in the power of Christ if you haven't even received that power. You say, what power? What tools? I don't have anything. How am I supposed to use this if I don't have it to begin with? It would be preposterous for me to ask you to do that. You see, Christ will provide his power to those who believe in him. It's because he gives you a good standing before God that you can hope to get anything from him. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any basis to ask anything from him. It's because he forgives your sins that you can now be set free from the power of sin, because he breaks that bondage. It's because he gives you the hope of glory that you can now overcome all of the difficulties of life. Because you set your eyes on something that is beyond the trials, beyond the challenges of life. You see, if you have received Christ, he says, then walk in him. If this is true, then walk in him. If you have received his love, then rejoice and give thanks to God. If you have received his deliverance, then stay close to him and don't throw yourself in the hands of your enemies. If you have found the riches that are found in Christ, then don't look for a treasure anywhere else. And believe me, if anyone comes to you and tries to convince you to find your treasure anywhere else, don't listen to them. Don't let them deceive you or lead you astray. Because believe me, these people will come. In fact, look at verse 8. In verse 8, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. You see what he's saying? Don't become a captive again. You know what it was to be a captive to this world, to be captive to its empty promises. Think about it. Always promising so much pleasure, but always leaving you so empty. Always promising so much fulfillment, but always falling short of your expectations. You know what it was to be a captive to your passions, to be a captive to your sinful desires. All of the wisdom of the world couldn't do anything to break those chains. All of your efforts, they were in vain. In fact, you always ended up where you began, and you couldn't move one inch closer to God. And you know what it was to be a captive to the elemental spirits of this world. You know, just trying to be a better person. Just trying harder. Harder. Oh, I just need to try more. I just need to do more. And it's never enough. Just trying to do a few things to improve your life. But you know what? It was never really solving the problem. It couldn't solve the problem of your sin. You were captive to the elemental spirits of this world. The truth is that these things, they can't ultimately help you. At best, they can patch up the problem. You can be like putting a band-aid on the problem of sin. But only Christ can give you what this world cannot give you. Christ can do what you could not do through a few little rituals. The truth is that if you are united to Jesus Christ by faith, you are tapping into a divine well that will never run dry. If you are united to Jesus Christ by faith, you are tapping into a divine power that is based on the unchangeable nature of God Himself. That divine power and these divine promises. Think about this. The unchangeable certainty of His promises. So why would you look for treasure anywhere else? It just doesn't make sense. Everything you need, you find it here. I'd like you to turn to Matthew 13, verse 44. Look at Matthew 13, verse 44. Now, that's one of the shortest parables in the Bible. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." So think about what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. And the value of this treasure, it so far surpasses the value of anything else that you're willing to give up everything in this world as long as you have this treasure. Now, in our day and age, we don't look for treasures in the ground unless you work for an oil company or something. So it may be hard to picture this. But I want you to think. Think about the people who found jewels in the land. You think about the California Gold Rush. Think about the thousands of people leaving their house, leaving their homes and their property so that they could find gold in California. You see, they left everything that they had because they knew there was a great treasure underneath the ground. And so this is the picture that you get here. You see, it doesn't matter if you have this huge piece of land. If you understand that in that particular piece of land over there, there's a great treasure underneath. I don't know, diamonds, gold, whatever it is. You know, as long as I have that piece of land, I mean, it's so much more valuable than anything else I have. I better just make sure I can sell everything. As long as I have that piece of land, man, I'll have all the riches in the world that I need. Well, it's the same thing. If you find out that there's a treasure of infinite value in Christ, then it doesn't make sense to look for it anywhere else. Then you should focus all of your efforts on mining the treasures that are in Christ. And in case it's not clear, I want to read to you three passages and talk about this treasure that we have through faith in Christ. And as I read these passages, I want you to ask yourself, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Is your treasure in heaven? Or is your treasure in this world? Is your treasure in Christ? Or are you trying to find a treasure outside of Christ? I want you to ask yourself this question as we read these passages. The first one, I want to look at Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Again, this is Jesus speaking, and he's giving another instruction here. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." How do you hear these words? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. If you find your treasure in Christ, then your heart will be at the right place. He says, don't you store up for yourselves treasures on the earth? What's the point of all of this? No, no, this is what you need to do. You need to find treasures in heaven. And we understand the only way is through Christ. That is where your inheritance is. In Christ, He gives you this place He's preparing for you. All the riches of God are found in Him. So we want to have the right focus here. The treasure, not on the earth, but treasures in heaven. For the second passage, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Now, it's another parable. This is what it says. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of the rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, oh, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Again, you see a very similar warning here. You can have everything in this world. You can have all the wisdom. You can be the smartest person in this world. You can publish all the books that you want. You can have all the riches. You can be able to buy everything that you need. You can have all the power in the world. You can be a king of the greatest country in the world. You can have all the pleasures that you want. But if that's all that you have, it's worthless. It's absolutely worthless. You see, make sure that you're rich towards God. Make sure that you look for the riches that are in Christ. What's the point of having all these things if in the end you're not rich toward God? Because you see this warning. He says, your soul is required of you this night. When you die, all that you have on this earth, it just perishes with you. You lose everything. And if you don't have anything, if you are not rich toward God, then you won't have anything. But you want to be rich. You want to have the true riches that are in Christ. So that when you die, you're going to have something. You're going to have true treasure in Christ. The last passage I want to look at is 2 Corinthians 4. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verses 6 and 7. It says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. You see that treasure? This treasure is found in Christ. This treasure is the light of the knowledge of God penetrating in your heart. The gospel opening your heart to give you the knowledge of God in the face of Christ. That is the treasure that we have, as though it was in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God. That is the real treasure that we find in Christ. To come back to Colossians, you see, the point is, the Apostle Paul is saying, if you know that this is the place where you find all of the riches of God in Christ, then make sure that you stay there. Make sure that no one turns you away from Christ. I want you to look at Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. Look at verses 9 and 10. He says, for in Him, that is in Christ, in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. Just think about what he's saying here. He says, all of the fullness of deity, all of the fullness of God dwells in Christ. Christ, in fact, is above all rule. He's above all authority. He's above all things. And you know what? You have been filled in Him. What more do you need? Think about this. The one who fills the whole universe. You have been filled in Him. No wonder your cup overflows if you have Christ. What more do you need? All of God is found in Christ. There's nothing more than what God offers to you in Christ. Believe me, you won't find more favor from God if you do something like whip yourself. You won't find more favor from God if you try to conjure up your own, you know, sorrow. If you try to just, if I can atone for my own sins through my tears or through my own sorrow or something. No, you won't find more mercy from God if you go anywhere else. You think some people, I think, you know, they're finding more mercy from God if they go to Mary. That is nonsense. You won't find any more mercy from Him than you find it in Christ, through faith in Christ. Believe me, you won't find more protection from your enemies if you pray to angels. You're not going to find more power if you speak in tongues. You know why? Because you find everything in Christ, everything that you need. Now, for example, I don't get it how people can pray to Mary thinking that they're going to get more favor from her than they would from Christ. Now, in what ways is Mary greater than Christ? Oh, there's no, absolutely in no way is she greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, the creator of this world, is above every creature, including the woman through whom the Son of God was born. Is Christ too weak? Is Christ not merciful enough? Or maybe God has not given us enough promises in Christ? Has God not given us enough power in Christ? No, we need to realize that all that we need is found in Christ. And in fact, the Bible says that all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Do you see? You won't find that anywhere else. His promises, all of them, are yes in Christ. I want you to look at verses 11 and 12. Look at verses 11 and 12. It says, in Him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. Now, think about what it's talking about, the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant, it was great. But if you think the Old Covenant was great, how much greater is the New Covenant? In the Old Covenant, men would circumcise their flesh. But in the New Covenant, God circumcises the heart through faith in Christ. And in fact, when you believe in the powerful working of God, not only does your sinful flesh die with Christ, but Christ also gives you new life. When you believe in the powerful working of God, not only are you buried with Christ in baptism, but you are also raised to new life with Christ. All this happens through faith. It happens through faith in Christ. The death of the old, the birth of the new, the destruction of what is sinful, and the reconstruction of something eternal. You find it all in Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul just keeps hammering this point over and over again, and he's not done. Look at verses 13 and 14. He says, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. Wow. Now just think about this. Imagine if we wrote a list of all the sins that you have committed throughout your whole life. Well, I know the list would be big, right? Every sin that you've committed in your heart. Every sin that you've committed in your speech. Every sin that you have committed in your thoughts or in your actions. And all of those sins, every day of your life, we put it all in a big fat book. I don't know how fat that book would be, but there's a lot in there. And in fact, here's an excerpt. Sunday, February the 2nd, 2014. Huh. Here's what it says. There's an entry. It says that you woke up with impure thoughts in your mind. It says that you're guilty of sexual immorality in your heart. Oh, there's another entry. It says, when your spouse asked you to clean up your mess, you got angry. It says that you're guilty of murderous anger. Oh, here's another one. It says then you spoke harshly to your children. Oh, it says that you're guilty of provoking your children to wrath, that you're guilty of being a stumbling block to them, and that you're guilty of falling short of loving them as you should. Oh, here's another one. It's pretty interesting. It says that you figured you didn't have to really prepare yourself to go to church to worship God. You didn't pray for the preaching, for the teaching. But you did take time to check your emails and your Facebook page. Oh, it says that you're guilty of loving the things of the world more than you love God. Oh, and the list, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, all of your sins in this big fat book, the record of your sin. And this is what God did for you who believe in Jesus Christ. God took that big book, the record of your debt that stood against you. And you know what he did? He nailed it to the cross. Think about this. With all the power of his might, he took this big, sharp, and rusty nail. And he drove it with all of his strength right through this book and into the cross. That's what he did at the cross for you. Christ took it upon himself, all of your sins, all of the record of your debt. He nailed it to the cross. And so from now on, if someone asks you, what happened to your sins? What happened to that debt? You can tell them, God nailed it to the cross. Christ took it upon himself. And you know what? It's gone. It's gone. There's nothing left that identifies you as a guilty sinner. There's nothing left in your record that identifies you as one of Satan's subjects. There's nothing left that connects you to his domain. Your record has been cleaned. I want you to look at verse 15. He says, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. You see what it says? He disarmed the rulers. He disarmed the powers of darkness. He put them to open shame. I want you to imagine the devil trying to accuse you before God. And the devil comes and he says, you know that person's guilty. You know that person's a lawbreaker and belongs to me. But God replies, no. That person died with Christ at the cross. That person who stands before me has no record of belonging to your domain. His record is clean. Now, no wonder the devil hates the cross of Jesus Christ. No wonder the powers of darkness, they hate the blood of Jesus. It's an embarrassment to them. By the cross of Christ, God has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. See, the point is that you find all of that in Christ. Oh, the Apostle Paul, he just keeps hammering it over and over and over again. The point is so clear. You find it all in Christ. Why would you look anywhere else? What would you hope to find? You're not going to find anything good outside of Christ. So now that brings us to our second point. By contrast, the emptiness of all these false religions. Now, I want to mention, I'm going to have to be really specific about these things. Because, you know what? It's possible for you to say, amen, to everything I've just said. And then to turn around and to fall flat on your face in some of these traps. To try to look for something outside of Christ because you don't get the full riches that you find in Him. It's easy for you to be deceived, and so I'm going to have to be very specific. First, I want you to look at verses 16 and 17. This is what it says. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. You see what he's saying? Now, in case you didn't notice, these things have to do with the Old Covenant. These are regulations of the Old Covenant. First, you see the strict dietary laws of the Old Covenant, which made a distinction between the foods that were clean and the foods that are unclean. Then you see the feasts of the Old Covenant that the Israelites, they had to observe every year according to God's commands. You see the Old Covenant Sabbath with its restrictions on what people could do and not do on that day. You see what it says? It says that all of these things, they were only shadows of the things to come. It says, but the substance, the reality is found in Christ. Now this is amazing. Think about what it means. Whenever you read about the distinction between clean and unclean in the Old Testament, you know what it does? It points to the curse of this world. It reminds us that this world is tainted by sin. This world is unclean. But it also points to the cure for the curse, how God would reconcile the world to himself through the cross of Jesus Christ. He would put an end to our uncleanness, and he would wash us by the blood of Jesus so that we would be clean before him. That's what it points to. That's the substance of these shadows in the Old Covenant. And whenever you read of the feasts of the Old Covenant, which were really a commemoration of God's provision for his people, you know what it does? It points to the ultimate provision of salvation that God would bring through Christ. And it reminds us that God is our provider and God is our Savior, and it calls us to celebrate such a great salvation, that you would have the joy of your salvation because He has done so much for you. That is the substance of these shadows that you found in the Old Covenant. And whenever you read about the Old Covenant Sabbath, you know what it does? It points forward to the ultimate rest that God has provided for his people through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And it warns us that if we refuse to enter his rest through faith in Jesus Christ, we will be sorely punished. There's a real threat. We have to enter that rest which God has provided for his people. This is the reality of the shadow that was in the Old Covenant. We have all of the substance in Christ. That is the reality of these things. And you know what? Some people are going to fail to understand how Christ has fulfilled these things. They're going to fail to understand he has fulfilled the Old Covenant. And they're going to try to put you under that Mosaic yoke again. But let me say, the Apostle Paul, he says, they're going to pass judgment on you based on these regulations, based on these ceremonies of the Mosaic Law. And the Apostle Paul is saying, if you understand what you have in Christ, don't you let them pass judgment on you based on these things. Oh no, these things were a shadow. The reality, you find it in Christ. Let me be very specific here. Have you ever heard someone say that you need to abstain from certain foods? Saying you need to abstain from meat or from pork or something. You remember in the first century, they had to deal with the Judaizers. They would tell them, you need to be back under the Mosaic covenant, under the Mosaic law, as though they didn't understand the freedom that they had in Christ. They didn't understand the fullness of the riches that are found in Christ. They didn't understand the reality, the fulfillment of all these things. Well, you have the same thing today. You have people who try to put you under that yoke again. They try to define what is clean and unclean based on the Old Covenant. You find people saying you need to abstain from foods. You think about the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, they're going to tell people there are foods that are unclean. And in fact, often they're going to try to draw people to their cult by offering them a healthy eating program. You know why? Because they don't have the substance. They don't have the reality that is in Christ. And so they have to have those external forms of religion. You think about the Mormons. The same thing. They tell people to avoid certain foods, certain drinks that are unclean. Again, it's because they don't have the substance that is in Christ. And so they have this external appearance of religion. You think about the Muslims. They also tell people that certain foods and drinks are unclean. I mean, there's a pattern here. Do you see? They don't have the substance that is in Christ. And so that's why they have to rely on these things that are external. And whenever you hear that, alarm bells should go off in your mind. Whenever someone goes back to the Old Testament to define what is clean and unclean, you should have this alarm bell going off in your mind and say, wait a minute, maybe they don't understand the substance that they have in Christ. And so they're trying to put us under that yoke again. Believe me, you need to see these things through Christ so that you would see how He has fulfilled them and how it applies to us through faith in Him. Look at verses 18 and 19. He says, "Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in great detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God." You see what he's saying here? Let me be very specific again. Have you ever heard anyone boast about prophetic visions or boasting about dreams? And that person trying to make you feel like you're not spiritual because you didn't have those visions? Because you didn't have those dreams? Oh yeah, you've probably heard that, right? Well, look at what the Apostle Paul says. He says that such people are puffed up without reason by their sensuous mind. They're not even in touch with Christ anymore. These people, they depart from Christ and they're running after other things. They're running after experiences. They're running after the supernatural. They're running after signs and wonders and mystical experiences. They're running after angels. They're running after mystical powers. But you know what? They have pushed Jesus Christ out of the picture. That's the real danger here. And the Apostle Paul tells the Colossian believers not to let these people disqualify them. Think about the irony here. These people, they think they're super spiritual, but they're really in danger of being disqualified from the faith altogether. In their spiritual frenzy, they have turned away from Christ to counterfeit spiritual experiences. Let me give you an example. You may have heard some people say that you need the full gospel. You know, as though the gospel that you have wasn't full. As though you needed something more than what Christ offers to you and the redemption. Well, if someone says that, don't even listen to them. And believe me, that's a common theme in charismatic circles. Now, I'm not saying that this applies to everyone who's a charismatic. I know some people who are charismatic and they are still Christ-centered. I know some people who do that. And I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about those many charismatics who are not Christ-centered. You know why? Because they have pushed Jesus Christ out of the picture. Because instead of looking for the riches that are in Christ, the spiritual blessings, they are looking instead for these strange manifestations. And they think they're more spiritual. And they look down on people they think who are inferior to them because they don't have these weird things happening to them. I mean, this is really ironic. Think about this. Being proud of things like barking. Barking in the spirit. I mean, come on. I didn't know that animal behavior was spiritual. Think about the irony of being proud and boasting of things like babbling uncontrollably. Being proud of weird manifestations that are more occult. They're more pagan than they are Christian. And what arrogance to say that the full gospel is something more than the redemption that is in Christ. Oh no. All the fullness of the gospel is found in Christ. If you have Christ, you have everything that you need. You don't need to look for some special experience outside of Christ or in addition to Christ. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have everything you need. You see, the objectivity of your faith in Christ. Because remember, your object, the object of your faith, it stands sure. It's a sure foundation that God has done something in history, and you believing in Him is something that you can trust right now, because you say, I am looking to Christ in spite of my struggles. I'm looking to Him, and I know what He has accomplished for me in history. And therefore, I know that I have everything I need in Christ, regardless of your experience at the moment, regardless of how you feel, regardless of the struggles that you're going through, as long as you are looking to Him, you have everything you need. Believe me, the Holy Spirit will never make you take your eyes off of Christ. The person who's really filled with the Holy Spirit will be most fixated on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit-filled Christian will search the riches that are in Christ. The Christian who is really filled with the Holy Spirit will abide in the Christian faith and won't need to seek after these weird manifestations, because he knows everything I need, I find it in Christ through faith in Him. Look at verses 20 through 23. It says, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to its regulations? Do not handle. Do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Do you see what the Apostle Paul says? These kinds of practices are worldly. These kinds of practices, they belong to this world, to the things that are below. And he says, you are supposed to die to the world. You are supposed to die to these things. They're nothing more than human precepts. This is a self-made religion. This is according to the flesh. This is according to the world. And Christ has come to set us free from these things. Christ has come to set us free from vain imaginations, from the passions of the flesh, from striving in the flesh to get an experience of God, from these worthless idols and these false paths to the divine. And now I have to confess, I was once like that. I can relate to these verses very much. Those of you who know, I used to practice Buddhism. I was heavily involved in that. And believe me, I thought I was so spiritual. I would meditate with my candles. I would meditate with my statue of Buddha. I would try to achieve a higher spiritual state through meditation and trying to control my desires. But you know what? I was still a slave to my sin. I had no way of changing my spiritual state. And in fact, I was worshiping the creature. I wasn't worshiping the real God. I was in darkness, and I had no way to atone for my sins. I had no way to atone for my guilt before God. I was puffed up by something that was absolutely worthless. And you know, these Eastern religions, they often have such an appearance of wisdom. You know, they look so mystical. They look so magical. These people, you say, oh, they look so happy. They look so pure. These people who cut themselves off from the world, they go to their monastery to meditate all day. I mean, they have an appearance of purity through their asceticism, through their severity on the body. But let me tell you, I can assure you, these people are still slaves to their sin. They are slaves to their sin in spite of the appearance of purity. There's nothing they can do to change their state of guilt before God. There's nothing they can do to wash away their sins. And there's nothing they can do to deliver themselves from the curse of this world. They can only have an appearance of purity on the outside because of their harsh lifestyle. But when they die, they're going to have to face God in their sin. And they're going to realize how silly they were. Just like those Pharisees, the whitewashed tombs. Oh, they look so good on the outside, you know? Cleaning the outside so much, but inside full of dead bones. Well, these people that we see in Colossians, they are just like that. They have an appearance of wisdom, but they don't have real power. Inside, they're still slaves to their sin. Still don't have that deliverance. Now, I know that some people, they could reply, hey, what about you Christians? You also fall into sin. Christians, they also indulge in the flesh. Is that what you call power? Well, first I would reply, well, let's make a distinction between those whose hearts really have been regenerated and those who just make a lip profession, you know? They don't really have it in their heart. But even then, even those who truly have been regenerated, they still struggle with sin. They still fall into sin. But this is the difference. These shortcomings are only the vestiges of the old man. They're the leftovers of the old life. But this body that they are still struggling with, this body is being put away. You see, these Christians, they're waiting for this body to be completely put away so that they can be resurrected with a new body, a pure body, untainted by the flesh and untainted by sin. And no one can take that away. Believe me, the power of the flesh has been conquered through the promise of a new life. In spite of your struggles right now, if you look to Christ, you know you have this promise of new life. The power of the flesh has been conquered through the forgiveness of sins and the promise of this inheritance in heaven. Otherwise, you would have no hope against the flesh. Oh, that hope you only find it in Christ. That's the only way you can have a complete deliverance from the disease of sin. Although you still fight against this, the remains of the old life, you know that one day that will be done. One day you will have a complete redemption. Do you want this deliverance? Do you want deliverance from the disease of sin? Well, God offers to take care of your record right now through faith in Christ. And if He takes care of your record right now, you can know for sure He's also going to take you into the kingdom of heaven after you die. And that will be the end of the power of sin. That will be over. You're not going to have this struggle anymore because Christ truly has set you free from your sins. So as we conclude, I want you to understand the deceitfulness of any kind of religion that promises spiritual blessings outside of Christ. These promises are empty at best. If you want the full experience of the blessing and the power of God, ask God to reveal the riches that are in Christ Jesus. And you're going to find that His power is real because His salvation is real. Let's pray. Oh God, what a blessing that You have provided all the riches in Christ. We don't need to look anywhere else. In spite of what we may be struggling with right now, in spite of the lack of experience that we may be feeling, in spite of the lack of godliness that we may sense in our daily walk with You, we know that we have this inheritance in Christ Jesus. And one day it will all be over, and we thank You and we praise You for that. Lord, be glorified. Show us the riches that are in Christ. Make us set our eyes on Him firmly to be unmoved and unshaken. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.